Hospitalitychain.com, the world's first online hub designed for the hospitality, culinary, and catering industry. From leading food and beverage brands to professional food service equipment, Hospitalitychain.com makes sourcing simple. Search, select, buy direct, and save all in one global marketplace. Welcome, foodies, to another episode of the Fell Into Food Podcast. I'm your host, Chef Jeff Fell. My guest today is Matt Cotton. Who is Matt Cotton? Well, he's the founder of Rooted Food Sales. They offer natural food brands a unique opportunity by integrating the traditional broker role with a strong sales focus to provide an enhanced solution to drive growth and branding. Matt brings it hard in today's conversation. A few of the topics we chat about are what a food brokerage is, who is Dot Foods, and a variety of food and beverage industry trade shows. Get your plate ready and fill up on some killer content. Bon appetit.
So I guess we can jump right into it. Thank you again for jumping on, Matt. It's amazing to see you. And I have to give kudos and props because a lot of this podcast, and I know I told this to you off camera, but that being on your podcast and getting like feedback from folks was kind of part of the launch of deciding to start a podcast. So I wanted to tell you via FaceTime, thank you for having me on because it kind of just helped spark and ignite something that I kind of wanted to do, but just never took the leap of faith to do. So thank you. I really appreciate it.
That makes my day and week. You are very welcome. And I'm so happy to hear that sincerely.
So let's give the people what they want. They came here to see Matt Cotton. Give us the 30,000 foot view, the soft bio of who you are and what you're about.
So, my food service journey. So, I was hired by two brands that were just in retail and brought on to pioneer in the food service. So, did the Inescapable Chicken and the Egg game, getting big end users excited. You could force distribution, growing an awesome food service business from there. Also, led food service sales for a larger company, growing them from 25 to 40 million. And yeah, over my years, I hired and managed a lot of different brokers, and there's certainly a lot of good broker reps out there, but I was inspired to create just we'll call it a new school broker. It's just a feisty, fiery, passionate, bright, professional sales organization representing brands that really get me excited in my kitchen and just to share and talk about, which is kind of, we'll call it Whole Foodsy kind of brands, better for you, innovative, sometimes gluten-free, sometimes sustainable. So yeah, March coming up on 4 years. So I started Rooted.
Wow.
Really, really ridiculous timing of March 12th, 2020. So yeah, I started Rooted, and then you know, COVID was like this kind of real thing, kind of not real thing in the news. And so I started Rooted, and then COVID became real and the world and food service shut down. So it has been with or without the timing, but in this case, with the timing included as well, it has been a journey. And yeah, really proud of, so, you know, always want to level up more and more, but really proud of where we're at this point in time.
Yeah. Let's let everyone know, right? You said food brokers, and it's a part of the industry in which I think a lot more people need to be educated about what a food brokerage is and what value they bring. And then on top of that, if you could also kind of, I know you briefly mentioned it, but how Rooted is different than your typical food brokerage.
I'll try not to get into pitch mode on the second part. So what a broker is, for anyone who doesn't know, honestly, the simplest way, it's an outsourced sales team that represents a bunch of brands. So in our case, we're a team of 8 and we represent 14 brands. There's big national publicly traded brokerages that, you know, have hundreds of sales reps across the country representing, you know, 100 plus brands. Then there's regional brokers. But to boil all down, it's a sales organization full of, it could be a one person show to, you know, 100 plus people representing multiple brands. And you would look to hire them on to support and grow, you know, because they're connected with the distributors, they're connected with certain operators, they help manage and grow your business. They're basically an extension of your sales team, in this case, in food service. And why are we different? Once again, not to get into real pitch mode, but actually, I'm just going to own it. Why am I so freaking fine?
Yeah, go for it.
That shifted in me on a dime. Yeah, so the reason I am extremely, extremely passionate about who we are currently and how we continue to grow and what separates us is our people, honestly. Like, yes, we have cool software and we invest in cool things. And yes, we focus on great channels. But what brings me the deepest pride and the most confidence is our people. It's a group of true salespeople. And by that, I mean scrappy, bright, fiery sales professionals who love to create new business. And and as Jeff knows, because he's dealt with some of our team. Yeah, it's a different caliber of sales individual compared, once again, with respect, compared to most of the brokers who I dealt with previously.
Yeah, I will definitely attest to the folks on your team dealing with Cal here locally. You, when you first started, when you were was Sweet Lawrence the first the primary brand?
Sweet Lawrence was our first brand who we're going strong with and really doing well with four years in. It's amazing.
Yeah, they've exploded on the scene. It's quality products. Like you said, you represent quality, and they're epitome, in my opinion, in that space of quality. But as a fruit broker, how do you, mentioned large, there's large organizations, right? And obviously as you grow, how do you balance representing large established brands and supporting smaller innovative startups, right? Because everyone starts at that point. So how are you, now that you've grown, kind of taking that next level of supporting your brands that are growing and getting large, but then also still potentially supporting small up-and-coming brands?
The honest answer is we've really shifted away. So at the beginning of Rooted, any natural food brand with a pulse, I felt like we had to explore and potentially represent. Food service without distribution is so hard. It's so hard because it's like, the operator doesn't want to force distribution and the distributor doesn't really want new products. So it's just this really dense, often uphill battle. So in full transparency, we've changed our business model to really only exploring with brands that have distribution or in Dot Foods, which is the biggest redistributor, which I can explain more if there's interest. Or they're with Sysco, US Foods, Vistar, like they have distribution. Mm-hmm. Honestly, just it makes selling so much easier out of the gate. And that's not to food service is an amazing channel for so many reasons. So that's not to intimidate people about entering food service, but it's a thing. It's hard without distribution. Jeff, you know, if someone comes to you and they do not have any distribution, even if you like the product, your interest in exploring that product is going to be pretty hesitant.
It is difficult. And it's one of the primary questions that it gets asked, especially given now that I've been exposed to this world more. One of the first questions is, what's your distribution? Right. And it's almost like a little dagger. You have to ask it. And then folks, like, sometimes reluctantly, well, we're working on getting into Dot Foods. Well, everyone's working on getting into Dot Foods. And I do think it is important to explain what Dot Foods is. Everyone hears it, but people on the procurement side in this industry understand it and what it is. The everyday chef, in my opinion, maybe doesn't. Or somebody in an organization, they're kind of like, okay, I hear about this Dot Foods all the time. Who is it and why does everybody want to get into Dot Foods?
Before explaining the logistics of Dot Foods, I will say they are the most incredibly professional sales organization or distributor. It's incredible. Somehow, some way, every person I interact with there is just this like just super thoughtful professional. We have a really great relationship with them. So what is a redistributor / what is Dot Foods? So basically Dot Foods has multiple DCs, so distribution centers across the country, and they're redistributing. So they're going to all the Sysco's, all the U.S. Foods, and the smaller distributors, call it a Baldor, you know, a more regional distributor. They're going to these distributors, depending on the distributor, 4 to 6, 7 days a week. So why does that matter? So Jeff and Quest in one of their locations could want one case of your product and they can get it. Because if your product's in DOT, then Jeff's local distributor can, without stocking that product and going through that big process and making sure they have a pallet in, and like, you know, they can, Jeff can order one case if it's in DOT Foods, because they're going to be going to that local distributor several days a week. So in essence, if you're in DOT, you can kind of get everywhere. You know, some operators view it as a special order because it's not just straight up as easy as it being in your local Sysco.
Right.
But for most, if it's in DOT, they know they can get it. So if you're talking to like a chain account that's in like 4 or 5 different regions of Sysco, you can service all of them if you're in DOT Foods. It's incredible. And when you're at trade shows, it's incredible as well, because you can get anyone product. And that's often a question I get is, are you in DOT? Yes, are you in Sysco? Are you in US? But more often not, are you in DOT Foods? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've gotten so big. And I want to put a pin in trade shows, because we're going to come back to that, because I definitely want to talk about trade shows, because it's that time. So you mentioned you're looking for distribution, right? A brand that's already in distribution. What else are you looking for in a brand? I know you talk about wholesome, cleaner, but what other qualities outside of the normal like checklist items, what are you looking for in, I guess this is a two-parter, in the brand that you're going to potentially represent? And what are you looking for when you go to clients, or what is that kind of strategy? Obviously, there's a built-up clientele of products that are already fits, and potentially some of the new products might be fits as well. But what about a new customer? Is it the approach of cold calling and just seeing what sticks? Or is there a more methodical, you know what, we want to partner with companies or schools that fit a certain mold?
Yeah, this is great. So our catalog... So our review process, we take really seriously. You know, we're not a perfect organization, but who we offer our services to, we take extremely seriously. So we have 3 criteria. Are we like genuinely like fired up and excited and confident about the brand? Because most people are salespeople. At some point in time, you sold something you weren't excited about. It just doesn't work. And then on the other end, when you really just light up and get excited, like it's easier. It just comes through as you're sharing about the product. So it's, yeah, are we genuinely excited? So I will handle a first call if there's enough interest. And then Christy, our VP, joins on. There's 3 of us who review products. And yeah, it's the attributes. Once again, it's that whole food. Is there something, are there, it's never because of cost. Every brand we represent is more premium for a reason, right? So it's like, what are those reasons? What attributes are we going to latch on to? It could be, once again, it could be mission driven. It could be sustainable. It could be just best in class. Taste is through the roof. Women minority owned, allergen friendly, like, in, you know, just a couple, 2 or 3 attributes that we can really latch on to. And then as far as selling, I mean, this is, yeah, it's every, so great question. So because we're representing more better for innovative brands, it's not, let's say, to jump to a burger chain example, it's not like Joe's like single, like super conventional burger restaurant. We focus on more, it would be Joe's 10 unit and above burger restaurant that has grass-fed beef or plant-based burger or Spindrift or kombucha in the open air cooler. That's where we approach. And yeah, so not only do we have our relationships, like we love to create, or at least try to create, new business. And we come in softer, more like understanding when we get the meeting, understanding like, how do your operations work? What initiatives are you working on? How do you review products? And like, eager to show the catalog and just like, but it's more just like, if it's an initial call, understanding what's important to them and then just like building trust out of the gate as well. And then last thing, it's also great when you can almost sneaky love when it's almost, well, I most refer it to be something off our catalog, but when it's something that like we don't even represent, like we're trying to find this, like trying the most random example. Like I got a bit larger partner looking for a chickpea flower and I'm like, I'm going to find you a chickpea flower. And I found one through my network and brought it back to them, not representing them. So I love that. Just like being a resource as well. It's just like it earns trust, but it also just feels good. And just, yeah.
You're providing value, mm-hmm. right? So you're giving value to that end user. And a lot of it comes to fruition, not even sometimes after that first initial, it's that secondary, third, or just down the line when a buyer thinks, oh, and I think we talked about it, and they think, oh, I remember talking to this brokerage or person, and they didn't come off as super salesy, and they seemed interested in what we are doing and what we're trying to achieve. Let me reach back out and see if they've got anything in this world. And it's just funny how then those synergies match up, and it's a lot easier of a sell when it's like, we're looking and you're like, I can help you. And that willingness to help, even if you don't represent, that's huge. Cause a lot of people don't want to, if it's, we don't represent, why would I go out of my way and spend the extra time and effort? But you all do those kind of things. And that's what I view the separation. It's the people skills. It's the interpersonal connections. It's, we may not do a deal for a year or two, but then something comes up and it's like, hey, we have something. You want to take a look at it because you know what that customer is about. Yeah. And then you can actually pitch it to them in a way that's not salesy, because it's like, hey, we have this. I think it's probably a good fit in your space. And then the end user can still make that decision, but not feel mm-hmm. pressured. And it's such a good feeling to work with brokers, because I've worked with them that it's the opposite and they're just dropping off. I have something new. Mm-hmm. I have something new. And what am I going to use that for? I have zero interest in that product category right now. Chickpea flour. Yeah. I have zero interest in it. And they still want to try and ram it down your throat. Like, this is the latest and greatest and you need it for your operations. Well, that's not that easy from an operation side to just implement an item unless it is really a consumer product good that's just ready to sell. So I want to jump back to trade shows, because it's trade show season, and Expo West is coming up. And I saw a little something on LinkedIn, because you had done some stuff last year that you're going to be there, and you've got a panel, or explain what you've got going on. Well, I guess first explain kind of what trade shows are, because again, I think it's good for people to know what a trade show in general is and the variety of them. And then let's jump into Expo West and what you're going to be up to there.
So when I think about trade shows, there's two different kinds. There's distributor trade shows. So like Sysco, I use them as the example because they're the largest food service distributor. Like each Sysco DC will have one or two shows a year. So those are distributor trade mm-hmm. shows. You would need to be stocked to participate in that trade show. Then there's non-distributor trade shows where anyone can sign up. Yeah, there's several of them. So some, it's not lowest hanging fruit, but I'd say the easiest ones for kind of to enter. So NACOFS is really interesting, is the largest college and university. It's a college and university dining organization, and they put on three or four regional shows, which are in March, and then a national show in July, which this year is in Louisville. NRA, the National Restaurant Association, is the largest traditional restaurant show, but you'll get all walks of life there, from colleges, coffee shops, airlines, distributors. So that has been in Chicago forever at the McCormick Center. It's 4 days. It's a thing. And that's in May. Jeff, I met you in person there. Some other... So if you have a packaged good, convenience stores, NACS is the largest convenience store show. That's in the fall. NAMA is a vending show. So coffee office vending is another really strong one. So that's what I would say for like the most well-known, like there's so many more, but the most mm-hmm. well-known shows traditional for food service. And before I get to Expo, I'll say... If you don't have distribution, prepare to be really excited and really frustrated at these shows, because like we were talking about, you are often going to get asked are you in Cisco Chicago? Are you in DOT? And if, you know, it's tricky because you need that operator, and that gives you a chance to find that operator who's like, I want your product. I have 10 restaurants. Go get it into Cisco. So it gives you a chance. So it's going to be a combination of excitement and frustration if you don't have distribution. So Expo, the parent company is New Hope. They had two shows. Expo East is no more. So Expo West is massive, like massive. It's in at the Anaheim Convention Center every March. I love it. It really feels like it's just a celebration of the industry. We turned that into a company retreat, getting there a couple days earlier. Last year, like e-bike ride, pickleball. I cooked everyone dinner, which was such a joy. And then it's just amazing mayhem. So it is predominantly, it's a grocery show. That said, there are, because there's so many cool brands there, there are certainly food service operators and distributors walking the show, looking for new brands. So yeah, I work with my friend Hannah Lopez, who's head of food service at Plant-Based Food Association, bringing more food service to their events. So at Expo West, we're going to do a food service workshop. It is free with a badge. It's going to be amazing. There's going to be buyers sharing their knowledge and answering questions. Basically, you're going to go around like five different tables, 10-minute in groups of 10 for about 10 minutes, and more. The final details released in the next week or two as of February 8th. So it's going to be great. Great knowledge, great way to ask questions.
I'm super stoked. It's so cool to see, I guess, when you get to like really connect in the industry and you get to see people and seeing how passionate and what they love to do and bringing value to others. Cause again, this industry is all about relationships. And when you get to see that for someone who you know and have been working with, it's just so freaking cool. Like when I saw that on LinkedIn, I was like, that is absolutely amazing. One of the largest shows out there. And he gets to do this full on presentation show. So congrats to you, man. You deserve every bit of it. I've never been to an expo. Don't know if I ever, well, I'm sure at some point I will. But I've never been to an expo. So it's one of those things on my bucket list of, you know, I've been to NAMA, NACUFS, NRA, a lot of the big ones, the local distributor shows, but I've never been able to make it to an expo show. So that's super exciting for you.
Thank you.
So I also want to talk about what else you're doing. And I know that you do a Rooted Roundtable. And is that, I don't know a ton of the details, right? I've tried to join in, but it always, you know, schedules are difficult. But what is Rooted Roundtable? Because I always see it on LinkedIn.
Thank you for asking. So we have shifted away from really pioneering brands in the food service, but I get a ton of inquiries. There's so many brands that are in retail and are curious about food service. So we wouldn't look to represent them at this point, but it just feels good and I enjoy it to offer education for those types of brands. So yeah, the Rooted Roundtable. Thank you, Christy McGill, our VP, for that awesome name. It's basically a webinar is what it is. So we just had on three heavy hitters in food service and moderated a panel food service questions. We've had on director of new product development from 7-Eleven. We had CJ on from Dot Foods, had on Jennifer DeFrancesco from Sodexo, who's the largest.
She's awesome.
Company for college and university. And so just different segments of food service that I know would be of interest and of value. And so that's what we do for the Rooted Roundtable every 6 to 8 weeks. And then we have a company podcast as well, which you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, that's so cool. So let's look into the future a little bit. What exciting trends do you see on the horizon for the food and beverage industry? Because every year there's always something. And what do you, if give me three of what you're seeing is probably going to be the high points for this year.
Yeah, I think higher quality meat with a story and meat with solid attributes, like that would be first. Other trends, Yeah, it feels like functional beverage is still going strong and new players entering. And then the third, I would say, so plant-based has faded. So the question, but of course still has its place. So I see the next level of plant-based being cleaner ingredients. So just like a leveled up, maybe cleaner ingredients, less lab created, plant-based products.
Yeah. What I'm hearing a lot. I think everyone I've had on so far has definitely said some sort of the plant sector remorphing. And I agree with you on that. I think it's going to get back to just a cleaner, more wholesome, approach versus the lab, like you said, with a panel 100 ingredients long, it probably isn't healthier for you than just eating fruits or vegetables. So I see that. I see, like, I think I've mentioned before, but like homegrown, like home style food, comfort food making a comeback, but in a more modern style. I don't know what that's going to look like yet, but I see that kind of coming back, getting back to the comfort. I actually just heard a report on the news, I think the other day, of how consumers are getting away from fast food now. And because they're raising their prices so much, even to a point where the average daily consumer can't afford it, that they're going back to novel idea, buying groceries and cooking food at home, which most people should be doing, but there's a big trend or a big swing of that it starting to happen because people just can't afford to go out to eat anymore. Even with the quick fast brands, it's becoming so much. I know, shame on me, but the kids get Happy Meals every so often. It's not even cheap to get a couple Happy Meals anymore. Yeah. You know, when I'm like, I can do this at home for a fraction of the price. And obviously the food, you know, no knock to them. It's going to be a better quality food. And then again, equipment, I think that's always the next forefront. I know it's not food directly. Yeah. However, it's got to, because of the operators and what they've got going on. So it's kind of this blend of like quick service style food, speed scratch, as I call it, but then using this equipment that's quickly programmable, push of a button, kind of that push touch technology. That's kind of where I see things.
The last one I add would be upcycled. We represent an upcycled chip, Uglies. And
okay,
that term lands and everyone gets so excited about it. And I see more and more upcycled products. So in this case, right, it's basically taking slightly imperfect potatoes that may be thrown away and turning them into delicious, amazing potato chips in a beautiful bag and fun flavor. So upcycled is like just deeply sustainable. And I'd be really awesome if that trend continues. And yeah, there's a ton of interest in that brand.
Oh, that's interesting. It was during COVID. My mother-in-law actually used a service. I think it was called like Imperfect Produce or something like that, where they basically get all of that produce that maybe looks blemished or just is a funky shape, and they would just deliver it to your step. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just people think that, you know, an apple has to be perfectly round and shiny red, but if it's got a blemish or kind of funky looking, people are like, I'm not eating that.
Upcycled meal delivery company or produce delivery company. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's super cool. So with these trends, how do you follow? Well, I guess I should ask this first. Do you think you follow them, or, and I know in your space maybe it's a little different, but, or do you feel you set a trend?
No.
And then how do you stay ahead of the curve?
That'd be so awesome to be a trendsetter. No. I mean, I think it's our job. I think it's our job a little bit to share. I feel like I most find out at the shows. Like, you walk NRA and you have an idea of like what's popular, or like this year, if we see way less plant-based brands, like, yeah, I feel like after a show, I know pretty clearly what the trends are. I would say that's the biggest way I know.
I couldn't agree more. I think that it's a true testament, and seeing who gravitates towards what, especially, I usually go Monday, Tuesday, not usually over the weekends. Luckily I'm in Chicago, so it's easier for me to be able to just drive up spend the day, go home whenever I want. But you hear really on a Monday, Tuesday, you started to hear from people, what have you already, you can kind of almost filter out some of the noise so you don't have to spend your whole day trying to figure out what's worth seeing. And so you can see what's gravitated towards. And I couldn't agree more on that.
And then the other thing I would add is with our calls with operators and distributors, like in the spirit of being in exploration mode, it's always like asking them as well. So like I had an in-person meeting with Harvard a couple weeks ago. And it was just like, so what's like asking them, right? So you can like just understand their operations and initiative more. So asking them what's trending, what's fading. So that way as well.
Awesome. Let's jump into the weeds, a little rapid fire, controversial type potential questions. This is my favorite part. So let's start with some little fun here. So imagine Willy Wonka-esque food factory. What crazy contraption would you invent for that?
So what would I create? So my favorite treat, and I really like to eat healthy, and my favorite treat I need after most meals is 85% dark chocolate with coconut butter, which is just pureed coconut meat, and I scoop them together. So it would be a contraption that like has coconut butter infused into 85% organic chocolate, and I'd be a happy camper.
Nice. That's almost like a mold, and then you can just eat it just ready to go. All right, let's play food fusion roulette. Let's spin the globe and name two random countries. What unexpected but delicious dish would you create using their cuisines?
Give me an example.
So, for example, we can infuse Italian and Mexican food. Yeah. So like a project I did in school was I actually created it could be like a chorizo type, you know, ravioli, or you could go the other way and you're doing some sort of Italian dish that's into Mexican food.
I'm with you. So my favorite cuisine by far, and I've spent 3 months there, and I'm not going to lie, some of the reason I was there was because the cuisine was India. It's just, I just love saucy, spicy, colorful food. So mixing, my brain's just going to I have done a good amount of traveling pre-kit. So it's been a while, but, I just love food that has like life and flair and color to it. So another country that really jumps out is Morocco. So somehow a combo of Moroccan, Indian food morphed into one delicious platter.
I could see that. I'd love talking to people and what their ideas are, because it's so fun to, that's what I love to do, is play with food and things you would never think could work. Putting them together. So I love it, especially Indian food. Can't go wrong. What's the most outrageous pitch you've ever received from a food entrepreneur?
Well, this doesn't directly answer your question, but the oddest product I've ever seen, my first fancy food show. We didn't talk about that. It's 80% retail show, 20% food service in New York and Vegas. And my first trade show when I worked for a startup empanada company 10 years ago now, we were neighbors with a camel milk company. They were pitching camel's milk, and I would wager to say they're not in business anymore, but you never know.
Yeah, I'll take that to the next question, which is, what's the weirdest food trend? I think that could definitely take the cake of one of the weirdest food trends that did not stick around. Camel's milk. Can't say I've ever had it. Weirdest food trend. So, yeah. Should food brokers be held accountable for nutritional quality of the products they represent?
Yes and no. Yeah, no, if you're, a conventional food broker and you're representing all kinds of brands, you can't be, because so many operators are price is just really important to their business and to their operations, and that has to be honored and taken into account. So showing them conventional fill in the blank, frying oil, more commodity products, that I do not think so. You know, if that's your thing that you're owning, then I do think it is important. But I think for the vast majority of brokers, I don't think it's important.
Awesome. Last one. What one change would you make to the food industry if you could snap your fingers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would get rid of seed oils. Yeah. I'm really, really passionate about the food I buy and cook, and not that there's not exceptions, but yeah, I think cooking, you know, my household, it's with coconut oil, ghee, grass-fed butter. I'm not saying it's the cheapest, but it's still cheaper than going out, and it's just really important to me. So when an establishment really shares that they're using, you know, healthy oils as opposed to, you know, if I'm going to be honest, just, canola oil and cheaper oils, it's you know, it's really not good for your, it's really cheap and but it's really not good for your health. So if, that would be the one change. It would make a huge, huge difference if high quality oils were used to prepare food, to make sauces and dressings.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point. I love me some, what's your go-to, on the grass-fed mm-hmm. butter.
Kerrygold. Yeah. Yeah. Kerrygold. I feel like, what's interesting, I feel like with butter and eggs, really the proof is in the color and like, right.
So
like I've tried, like I won't mention them by name, but like a few other brands that were like cheaper just out of curiosity. And like, it's always paler than Kerrygold. And it's like same mm-hmm. thing. If I'm going to be honest, Vital Farms, the egg company, I've gotten like other pasture raised eggs, and somehow Vital Farms, that yolk is all like, you can just sense the just like the power in there. And with butter and eggs, I go by color, and Kerrygold, who's like the OG in grass fed butter, their color has always just been the strongest, and I've checked out a lot of brands.
Yeah, you're speaking my language. I switched to the pasture raised eggs a few months back, and it is night and day. You get that golden orange, deep sunset orange. And when you look at a regular egg, I told the story, I think a couple episodes ago, how it freaked me out cracking a regular egg. And I'm like, whoa, it's too yellow. But there really isn't a whole lot you need to do with it. I eat mine with a little avocado, and it's just like the perfect breakfast. But I couldn't agree with you more. I love that. I love
foods where you can just tell. Same thing with like salmon. Like when I see farm raised salmon, which has color added to it as well, which is wild. So you're talking about it has color added. So imagine what it would look like without that color added. And that's why like when people try to. I'm not trying to be judgy here. I'm just talking about my household. I'm super passionate about what I put into my body. And it's like wild salmon just has this powerful color, and farm raised is just like pale. And it's just like so obvious, just instinctually, which is going to be more powerful and healthy.
Yeah, 100%. Let's wrap things up. I think we're cutting up on time. Where does everyone go to find out more about Matt, your team, Rooted Food Sales? Where can they go to get the latest and the greatest from you and your team?
Thank you so much. And thank you for the conversation. It's fun because, you know, we have a weekly podcast, which I love, and I'm the question asker, and I've been on a few podcasts, and it's really enjoyable, and you lead a nice flow, and I'm so pumped for you that you are doing this. I am active on LinkedIn, just my name. And then like we discussed, we have a Rooted Roundtable, which is, has good wisdom and value, in there from the guest. And this is all shared via my LinkedIn. So you can go to rootedfoodsales.com or follow me on LinkedIn, would be best. And then our podcast is, I love the name as a salesperson. It's called Pleasantly Persistent, which is really what you need to be really as a salesperson.
Couldn't agree more. So you've heard it. If you have a brand and you got distribution, make sure you got distribution. Make sure you hit up Matt, his team. They're awesome people to work with. But until next time, we'll catch you on the sunny side.
HospitalityChain.com, the world's first online hub designed for the hospitality, culinary, and catering industry. From leading food and beverage brands to professional food service equipment, HospitalityChain.com makes sourcing simple. Search, select, buy direct, and save all in one global marketplace.